welcome to another fantastic episode of the world's greatest action sports podcast, The Monday Mass. I'm Chris Cote.
And I am Todd Riches. And look at our new background. Wait, what? My TV turn off? No. See, we're live. Look at this. Yeah. Look at how meta is this? We're inside. I can look inside of being inside. Right?
Wow. Double indemnity.
Don't get lost in the don't get lost in the matrix over there.
Don't look behind me. Okay, no. Let's get right into it. We've got a great show and our guests are already waiting in the waiting room. So we're going to have a great start. The ending is probably not going to be that good. So just get excited now.
Okay.
I'm just being honest with our actually, you know what? It's going to be good all the way through because I just re-looked at the script and we're going to kill it.
Honesty is the worst. Are you ready policy. To crush let's this do the sponsors.
Epic podcast? Do the okay, sponsors. Let's do the sponsors. Adventure.io. I got some great news from Adventure.io, Todd. Adventure.io, when we're ready to turn the switch of life back on, they're going to be ready for all of you and all of us. Todd, we have the BSR Waco experience in the works. We've got a San Diego North County Super 73 Todd and Chris experience happening. That's going to be in the works as well. Poopies is now a guide. You've got who else? There was another new guide that they just added on there that is going to be really, really fun. So get your Adventure.io app now. You're going to love it. Oh, I just got a text from
it's your key to adventure
at Adventure.io. And it says, oh my gosh, do you know who Steezus Christ is?
Yes.
Steezus Christ will be your guide to a VIP skate experience of LA. So that's Steezus awesome. Now on the program.
Sick.
It's going to be awesome. Okay. K2 snowboarding. You know, the season was kind of cut relatively short, but that doesn't mean there's a bunch of sick videos coming out.
It's a little
out.
Short.
Yeah, there's going to be snowboarding because we will have the snow news with some good news for all of you snowboarders later on in the episode. So stay tuned for that. Panic and Coffee and Tea. Need I say more?
I'm currently dining.
See, look at how excited Todd is. We both, I'm sure, been fired up on the coffee and we have been ripping in, and we always do with Panic and Coffee and Tea. Chemistry Surfboards. I see one behind you. Yep.
I see six. Those are all of them.
All, Todd's quiver all of six, five, sixes, all made for 3 foot and under waves.
They're right? 5/8, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. Made for 3.5 feet and under.
Right. What else? Who else?
You
online. This is our home for all things Monday Mass.
New greens. Go there. I didn't stick my ball in it.
New greens. There's a code. We got a code this week for new greens from my good friend Devin. Let me tell you what it is because he texted it to me. He said, can you please tell everyone about the code? But I think it's I can't find it.
Oh my gosh. The files are in the computer.
There's a code. There's a code. I don't know what it
there's
is right
code.
Now.
It'll be on Todd's Instagram shortly.
Yeah, Nanocraft, I'll put it up there.
Nanocraft CBD always coming in handy for us because I went skateboarding on Friday, slammed a little bit, and definitely got my CBD injection when I needed it. And I also had some this morning, which therein lies the relaxation and the energy that I'm feeling. CBD morning from Nanocraft. Get on it. Beneath Apparel, we do have a code for Beneath, BN3TH, at BN3TH Apparel on Instagram. Go get these underpants, and if you do, enter the code Monday. You're going to get a discount. You're basically on the team like Todd and I. And, you know, I'm wearing trunks right now, so I don't have underpants underneath them. But when I do have underpants on, they're always beneath, and they're always wonderful.
Oh, wait. The code is MASS20 for new greens.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Oh, 20, okay.
That's 20% off for you.
That's awesome. All right. Our beneath code is Monday. Super Monday. 73 bikes. These things are flying off the racks, Todd.
They are.
And I got to say that you and I have been great ambassadors for these bikes.
I think some of the best. In fact, I think that they should give us those new ones for free.
We should get, because everyone should have a Super 73 bike. They're the best bikes in the business.
Mine's right here. I'm admiring it as we speak.
Hey, bike.
How's it going?
You want to get into the show?
I do. Chris, I was just doing some yard work. You know what yard work is, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you don't, because you like shit like cottage cheese in the human league. Listen, yard work is when you go outside and you use a rake and you kick ass in the yard It makes you feel good.
Awesome. Hey, well, thanks everybody for joining us. That was the podcast for the day. No, let's really start this thing off. We're going to start in surf news. We've got one of, you know, one of the people.
He's iconic. He's iconic.
He's an icon. He is a reporter. He's a journalist. He's a commentator. He's a pipeline specialist.
He's named after someone from Lord of the Rings.
He's named. He's also named after a small fruit.
What? Oh, yeah. He's got duality.
He's been in all the best Lost films. He is Strider Wasilewski. Strider, come on. Come into the show.
Bring him in. There he is.
Hey, there's Strider.
Oh, look how baffled you look right now.
Well, I was looking at that. There was this guy. I was looking at something you don't want. I can't show you. That's why.
Wow. Okay. All right.
That's why Strider always looks at his phone kind of like this, because you never know what's going to pop up on Strider's phone.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know, there's secrets out there.
Strides, you are up. You are up in Los Angeles. Today was opening day for the beaches again. I know you're surfing private spots, not a lot of people. You got your shit, but what's the vibe like now that the beaches are open again?
Well, everybody's, you know, surfers are happy. Obviously, people are psyching. I think there's a little bit of kind of this is, I'm back and this is my wave type thing, especially in Malibu.
Yeah.
So I think for a handful of people, it's like that. But I think for the most part, people are just stoked to be back in the water. I mean, it's been a long time here. So, you know, I mean, Zuma's still closed. I think technically Malibu's still closed, but
it doesn't really look like it by the amount of people that are in the water.
Well, I think that they're being kind of lenient about
I see.
Because it's going to, everything's supposed to open up in what, 2 days. So
I don't know.
I think it's actually today. Wednesday, mm-hmm. technically, but right now people are taking it into their own hands. And I think it's kind of like, what are we going to do? A couple of days, what's that going to do? And, you know, they're going for it.
In the restaurant business, we'll call that a soft opening. It's just soft a day opening. To go test it out, test the water. So Strider, I know that, you know, when people say, I live in Malibu or I live near Malibu, you always think of that iconic wave, Malibu Point. But correct me if I'm wrong, when we get south swells, like we're kind of having this first south swell of season right now, the last couple of days. What is there a lot of other breaks? I'm not asking for secret spots, but is there a lot of other breaks around that area? Because I admittedly have not explored much of LA County in terms of surfing. So is there other little nooks and crannies that people go to?
Yeah, oddly, there are some waves that you can pull right up to. They're not private. They're not, you know, you can actually go ahead and find them. There's plenty of waves around. I mean, you know, the obvious one, the best wave we probably have is Malibu. When it's firing, there's nothing like it. It's super perfect right-hand point that, you know, after all that sand got blown out from the rains and everything, the sandbar is insane. I think tonight's going to be an epic night session out there. If the red tide's in, it'll be incredible. Just go out there and glow. It'll be, you know, one of those, you know, once in a lifetime moments. But you know, up the way, Zuma's, you know, all these different waves all the way around, all the way up to County Line. There's little nooks and crannies. There's probably, gosh, I don't know, 30 waves that people don't surf.
Is it true they call it up the Wazuma because you surf there so much? Is that? Is it like, oh, is it called you're getting tubed in the Wazoo? Is that true? I've heard that a lot in the streets.
Yeah, well,
no truth to that. No,
I don't think you can name it after me, but I do think that there's a lot of great surfers that love surfing Zuma, and it'll kick your ass. The wave's really gnarly. I mean, it's done damage, and I walk around with a limp because of it. I've got a really, really bad arthritis in my right foot. I broke my foot completely in half there and had a medical history case and ended up, you know, they tried to cut my foot off halfway point. So I still have my foot. They put it back together. Doctor was right. I would cry every morning, and I do. I get out of bed and limp around until I can just deal with the pain and then go off with my day.
Speaking of limping around.
I've seen you surfing Pipeline. It doesn't appear to be holding you back whatsoever.
Well, I think people learn to live with pain.
So, you know, you're kind of a globe-trotting person by nature. You're a bit of a nomad. So what's it like for Strider not being living out of a duffel bag right now? Because you would be on the, you'd be in Australia right now getting ready for the first leg.
Yeah, I would have been, I would have been gone quite a bit. My family would be the X factor. They come with me to Australia, so I would have been with them most of the time. Mm-hmm. But I miss it. I miss it a lot. Fortunately, I've had a lot of great time with my kids, with my 13-year-old who's like ready to bail the house. He would not be around this much. And it's been amazing. We've been surfing every day. We've been hanging out. We've been skating. We've been, you know, he's connected to me right now, which is, it's amazing to have that connection. And with all my three boys. And then, you know, my wife's happy I'm home. I'm actually on a program. I'm like eating good and taking care of stuff and getting stuff done around the house. The honeydews are going through the roof, wow, which is always good. So I'm up in the mountains on my mountain bike, which I just got a brand new.
I was going to say, you've been literally building fences and you've been biking your ass off.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're kind of in the same boat as Todd and I. The commentary jobs right now are in the computer. They're happening in here.
And you guys have been doing a great job with that, by the way.
Thank you.
I've been finding myself working, doing things around the house. And
what's up with Salt and Pepper? Because you guys have this little web, this undercover little web thing going on. That's like, it's pretty sick, dude.
Yeah,
like it's real
Salt and Pepper is going to come strong. I feel like we were talking about launching it during these times, but the quality of what we want to do, we would like to be at a high level. I know everybody's, this is what's happening right now, and this is what people are getting all the way from, you know, across the board, CNN to, you know, Monday Mass. But I feel like there's also been a production level that we love already. So I think we're coming out of this pretty quick, and I think maybe we're going to wait for that and then hit it hard. I know that the WSLs wants to get behind it, which is really fun. And Kaipo and I have great chemistry. Actually, there's a lot of heat between us, so it's fun to put that out there.
Yeah, no, it's good. I love it.
Hey, while we have Strider on here and we're talking about cool stuff happening on the internet, there's a couple exciting things happening. Strider, I know you are a fan of, and I am a fan of, and I'm sure Todd is a fan of, Wade Goodall. So Wade has a new film called Pentecostal, drops May 14th, which makes that, what's the day today? Yeah, 4 days. So this is a Vans film that Wade made. He did the animations for it. He did the art. He did the editing, picked all the music, and he's ripping in this film. And Stab has partnered up with Wade, and they're actually throwing a global premiere / free pizza party. And so all you had to do is go to the site and RSVP, and you're getting a free pizza party basically wherever you're at in the world. I'm getting a free pizza, I think, from Best Pizza here in Encinitas. And the film is going to come with this package.
Wow.
I've never seen that done before. Wait, so that's pretty exciting.
From their local pizza shops are getting free pizzas and they're going to watch the movie?
Yeah. So if you sign up, you RSVP, I think if you did it quick enough, you're going to be on the list. So you get the download code for the film and you get a free pizza.
Like Little Caesars or some shit, like real pizza.
A proper pizza spot.
Okay. All right, dude.
Town. Yeah.
Pretty stoked on that.
We got a huge.
I'll call us Bruzos. Wow. My local pizza shop.
Dude, look at, you can't see it right now, Strider, but there's a big set coming through Malibu.
See it.
Oh, you can see it. Yeah.
Well, like, you know
it's good out there.
It's been firing. And you know what? I'm like, after I get off this call, I'm going to go get my backhand whips on and throw some buckets out the back, some Christmas trees, light it up.
Well, we'd love to come to you in the lineup, though. Yeah, you need to be in the lineup. We need to come to you for report.
I could go live on my apparatus in the lineup with the locals.
Hey, the next film, this one's going to take us all back. And this one is going to take Strider way back because Strider was there from the very beginning. Well, Dane Reynolds is now back. Chapter 11. Dane has decided to start making surf videos again. And that's great news for all of us because Dane is among the best, if not the best, surfer on the planet still.
We all miss Dane like crazy. And I get to see him randomly, but I feel like the world's going to be a better place with Dane back in it.
I feel like there's
visual pleasures.
Yeah. I mean, you and I went on that crazy trip with Dane to Tahiti where we almost died like twice a day just on random stuff. But like, he is a treat. He is a treat to be around, that's for sure.
Hell yeah. So Dane is back with Chapter 11. It's his kind of trademark editing style, music selection. He launched the new website with a video of himself. And then the second video drop was Eitan Osborne. I'm a huge Eitan fan for obvious reason. The kid does huge airs and he's just a wild card. Gotta love Eitan. Strider, I know we've actually been in the commentary booth together talking about young Eitan Osborne. And what a fun surfer to watch. And yeah. I think a perfect addition to Dane Reynolds' crew.
Well, he's a lot like Dane, you know, real raw, real like, he loves going really fast and throwing a lot of rail, but then he goes above the lip. He's kind of like a great, you know, guy to come in line underneath Dane. And the fact is Dane went to Hawaii and charged. You know what? Eitan went to Hawaii and charged. So there's a lot of similarities in the two. They're both from up there.
Huge teeth, really big teeth, both of them.
And they both have really big, see, they are the Beeb too. So we got the Beeb Junior. I like it.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
All right, Strider, thank you so much for joining us via the internet from Malibu, California.
Love you, buddy. See you soon.
Doing? Thank you for doing what you're doing, boys.
You're welcome.
Hey, thank you. If anybody wants to surf with Strider, good luck.
Malibu. Or go to Wazoo's. That's the
go to Wazoo's, and I can't wait to spray you both.
Perfect.
Later.
All right, follow at Strider's World. I know Strider, you already follow that one, so
yeah, you don't.
Fine.
Hey,
get that chain out.
Jeff, look, we got a junior man.
Chris.
Look on the screen. Sick. Like Uncle Chris.
Oh, what's up, buddy? Don't talk to the guy in the hat. Stranger.
Tell your dad to stop dressing you in tablecloths. We'll see you later, Shutter.
He picked it out.
Right on. That was awesome. All right. Thank you so much to Strider Wasilewski. Follow him at Strider's World. We're pretty sure you guys all already do. To take us out of surf and bridge us to skate, Todd, you have a little something special for us, don't you?
Yeah, we have a special. The Raglan, we're a global show, Chris. Right?
Oh, yeah.
We're global.
Hyper global.
We wanted to check in with the New Zealand scene with the Raglan Surf Report. So this is what's happening right now in New Zealand to conclude our surf news.
That was great.
Yeah.
We're back. Yeah, that cool. was great. I don't know what he said. I'm going to have to rewatch the show to find out
Luke from the Raglan Surf Report. I'm just here to basically give you guys a little rundown on what's going on in New Zealand at the moment. And there's actually quite a lot going on here at the moment, because usually there's not much going on. But at the moment, we've got a pandemic, and that's... pandemic is basically just when everything turns to shit because of like people getting sick, and like you've probably wherever you are, you've probably suffering.
Talk about in snow news. And yeah. Like, is he still talking about New Zealand?
Which is real.
Probably.
We're going through that at the moment.
Either way, we got to move on. That was surf news brought to you by Chemistry Surfboards. Now let's move on to skate news brought to you by Adventure.io. If you want a VIP experience through the wilds of Los Angeles and Hollywood, link up with Adventure.io and Steezus Christ. So that's right, Steezus, the man himself, will bring you around LA and show you some secret spots, and you'll have a VIP experience like nothing you've ever experienced before. So Skate News is brought to you by Adventure.io. Get the app. We're going to start it in with a very special guest, another icon.
One of our bros. This is
one of our broadcast
commentary bros. Where are you, Chris? Are you there?
Coming in. Oh yeah, let's see that video.
We gotta turn the video on.
Let's see. Where's that? Start video.
Yeah. Wow. There's dude. Hi. What's going on?
Yes.
Awesome. You know what? Chris, we just had Strider Wasilewski on the show. So I feel like this whole episode is all broadcast bros.
Oh, broadcast bros. Right? Yeah. Theme.
Out of work broadcast bros.
I know.
So we do this now.
Join you guys, dude. Here in confinement.
Exactly. It seems like you've been getting out, though. You've been getting some curb crushing going on. You get your little quarter pipe in the backyard and stuff.
Yeah, thank God. That thing's been keeping me sane. My son and I go out there for an hour or two every duskish, play basketball, skate a little bit. Yeah, man. Other than that, we've just been doing dishes and trying to keep the house clean and schoolwork.
Love it. Loving the videos.
Substitute teacher.
Yep, totally.
And so if for those of you who might not know, the few of you, this is Chris Pastris, aka Dune. Chris Pastris is one of the founders of Stereo Skateboards. He has his own board label, which I think I don't want to like release any secrets right now. we'll ask you the questions about that, but we do have some footage of Pastris from a classic skate video. It's called Tin Can Folklore. So Tin Can Folklore came out in what year, Chris?
95, I want to say.
95, okay. Yeah. And that was a stereo video that really, I would say, kind of helped set the precedent, right? Set the vibe of stereo and really kind of showed the world a little deeper of a picture of what street skating was like at the time.
Yeah, we got a visual sound before that one, which was 94. And that one was sort of like super polished and jazzy. Very much fit within a theme, all the fonts, and it was very clean. And then Tin Can Folklore, I like to say I put it together with masking tape. It was sort of like my four-track video, and I did it all myself, so along with the help of a guy named Matt McGrath. So it was very homespun, but if you want to watch the clean stereo, you'd prefer a visual sound.
What was the, when you guys first... Dirty. Well, yeah, when you guys first started stereo, like, what was the goal? Like, what was, when you guys came out and to create that vibe, it was very jazzy in the beginning. It was, way to put it.
My dad was a jazz musician, little known fact, and a school teacher. And he hit me to jazz. I mean, I grew up around jazz. It was like, Dad, can we go play ball? And he's just at the piano, ignoring me, you know. So I saw a lot of the back of his head and a lot of piano playing growing up. and it just was innate. Like, I knew all the album covers. I knew all the songs. I knew about all the musicians. So, and it's sort of one of those things. You know how, like, you stay away from, like, dad rock? Like, your dad might have liked Led Zeppelin, and then you hated it when you were, like, 12. And then you come back around to it when you're, like, 17. You're a little more grown up. And you're like, damn, Dad was listening to some pretty hip shit. That's pretty much what happened to me. I was kind of like, ugh, jazz, keep, you know, I don't want anything to do with that. I want hip hop, punk rock. But when I started to get, when I hit around 18, I started to appreciate the music and dive back into albums I'd listened to my whole life without really knowing it. And we had started a company called Blue Skateboards before Stereo. And we sort of tried to hint with that whole vibe, but it was a little off, and the partners we were doing it were a little off. And once I brought the idea to Deluxe, I was like, yeah, I kind of want to do this whole jazz thing with like jazz album cover layouts. And I had watched a bunch of jazz documentaries, and a lot of them were shot in black and white and used 8mm and 16mm film. Jason got really into photography at the time, so he was really into that. And we brought it up to Deluxe and Fosto at Thrasher, and they were like, this is fucking genius. Like, let's do it. So it wasn't just about us having the right ideas. It was about the backing. And they were like, dude, this is rad. You guys are doing some off the wall portraits with, like, you know, it's all about the fonts. There's no skating in the ad. It was super unique. And, when we did the video premiere for a visual sound at the Deluxe store, it was straight up right down the middle. Half the room loved it. Half the room walked out going, that was fucking a bunch of nose slides. That sucks. You know, so if you were like a plan B head, you were not feeling stereo.
Yeah.
But if you were like a little jazzy, a little hip, you know, then you were feeling it. We tried to go back to the basics. Like, I've always had this theory about skateboarding. If it's too hard, no one wants to do it. Like, when I love Plan B and I love, like, difficulty, but when I watch those, when I watched those really difficult videos, I just want to sit on the couch. I'd be like, I can't do that. I can't do that either.
Too much.
And with stereo, I wanted, you know, we had Ethan Fowler and Carl Shipman, and I wouldn't say their tricks were basics. They just did their tricks really fucking well. And they were
smooth, sort of basic
tricks. It was about style,
And all about the style. So that's what motivated me in skateboarding. And it found out, we found out through stereo, there was a whole bunch of people out there who felt the same way as us.
Stereo is a board company, a brand that has lasted, and it's stood the test of time. You still go into a skate shop today, you see a stereo board on the wall, and you're like, that's cool. That is a cool brand. That is a cool board right there. So that is something that's lasted, I mean, for a long time, and I think will be one of those brands that lasts forever.
I was just going to say, speaking of things lasting forever, now, Chris, you grew up skating in New York City.
Yeah, right? New Jersey, New York.
So right now, the Brooklyn banks, there's a big thing, a big push right now to save the Brooklyn banks. And I think that's pretty important because, you know, growing up on the East Coast, I only skated the Brooklyn banks once, but I will never forget that. And it was such like an iconic.
The smell, the grime, the dirt.
Everything about it. I was just this kid from Massachusetts who was scared shitless of where I was at that point.
Guns shot off at the Brooklyn bank.
Well, talk about that a little bit, like the importance of the iconic skate spots like that and saving those, you know, it's like such a big deal.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Chris. I work with these guys.
I'm out of here. But people are trying to save the Brooklyn banks right now. And it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. It's an institution. I can't even believe that New York City's not trying to make it a skate park. I hope that they are. It's so like, that's where we all grew up. That was the meeting spot. You know, you might've been from Connecticut, New Jersey, wherever. Even kids would come up from Florida. It's like that's where everybody met, was in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know the footage from the Bones Brigade video with Hosoi alling the wall?
Yep.
I was fucking there. I was like 14 years old. He just happened to be there. And it was Hosoi, Hackett, Dave Hackett, and Olsen, Steve Olsen. Wow. And Hackett and Olsen had this whole like leather jacket vibe, like the ladies. And as kids, we were like, who are these old dudes? Like, we know the boy, but what's up with the bouncers? You know, like, we didn't get it. And they were doing their edgers and stuff. And then Hosoi ollied the wall. And I want to say Ian Fromm and Pepe Martinez, there's a couple other people that had ollied the wall. I know Ian Fromm was one of them. But Hosoi was the first one to really, like, do it super smooth. Like it looked like an air on a ramp, you know, and just everybody went nuts.
That's so sick.
So with you know, speaking of iconic images and iconic spots, one of my favorite graphics of all time is Baby Dune. And I know Baby Dune has been through a lot of transformations. There's some subtle differences in the art and some outfit changes and standing up and sitting down. Can you give us a little sneak peek? Can you give us a preview, you know, as a...
Before we
go to our next guest?
No worries. I'll try to make this brief, but I was lucky enough to be a part of a couple sort of sea changes in skateboarding. The first one being Shut, which my older brother founded. So by default, I wound up riding for Shut at age 14. And that was the New York City skate company. And to me, that was like the dog town of the East Coast, so to speak. Like that's where the edge came from. But I always wanted to kind of like get out of my brother's shadow because I wanted to be my own person and my own skateboarder. So through Mike V, I got a chance to ride for World Industries while I was on Shut, which was heartbreaking, but I made the jump. And Rocco had a bunch of changes going on and turned me and Randy Colvin pro. Like I had come out to California one summer, thought I was coming back to go to Rutgers University. I've been accepted to Rutgers and Carnegie Mellon. And I thought Carnegie Mellon is in Pittsburgh. It was going to be freezing cold and I was going to have to work at McDonald's. So I go, I'm going to go to Rutgers. And literally that like August before I board a plane, Rocco calls me on a payphone, or I call him on a payphone. He's like, hey, Dune, we're turning you and Randy Colvin pro. And I was like, oh, cool. Like next year or something. He's like, no, your graphics are already being worked on, like in a week. Wow. And I said, oh shit, wow, I'll drive my Honda scooter there tomorrow. And yeah, I had one of those little like Honda Sprees that went like 30 miles an hour. I drove from Venice to Torrance on, almost got ran over. It's too funny. And yeah, sure enough, they had brainstormed on a bunch of graphics, but I had found the children's book with the Dune character and brought that in and was like, nah, I want something really simple and clean. Even then, I wasn't really feeling the cartoon vibes. I wanted something that was sort of timeless. So yeah, that began with the sitting baby, which became the standing baby, the multiple babies, which had come out through Prime, a whole slew of those boards that lasted for a year or two. With the baby
back,
and I've been bringing him back with Prime Wood, so yeah, it stayed with me ever since. And even with Stereo, we'd occasionally do a baby Dune board. It's timeless, I guess.
the baby Dune is now 20 something years old and doesn't look a day
almost
over
30
years.
Yeah, almost baby 30. Dune is almost 30. He's got stubble.
Hey, and so we're checking out your Instagram real quick here. You have a new DIY color it yourself kit that looks amazing. That's limited edition. Yes. That thing's going to be sold out before this show even ends. And follow Chris Pastris.
LA.
You?
Hell yeah. Follow Chris Pastris.
I'll tell you guys a funny story. I slammed yesterday, and you guys were almost going to have to do an interview with this guy.
Oh boy.
I broke my glasses yesterday. And I'm going, fuck, I gotta do this thing, man. I gotta fight. So luckily the Malcolm X glasses made an appearance and you did
great.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Pastor.
The nerds. Love you guys.
We'll get your broken glasses interview next week.
Dude, I can't wait to work with you guys again. Love you.
I know. We'll see you on the text chain that we have going. We have a private text chain too.
All right.
Bye, Chris. See you later. Bye, Denny.
Well, that was awesome. Chris Pastris, an absolute legend and probably still one of the best curb skaters there is on the planet, regardless of, I think Chris Pastris is 22 years old. Yeah.
He's like 20,
and he's,
23.
And he's
22.
Still really good at riding the rails or riding the curbs. Okay. So what? From one awesome person to another, this guy is one of my favorite artists. One of my favorite people. Anytime I can talk to him, call him, text him, go to one of his shows, watch one of his films, my life is better for it.
He set himself on fire once at one of my Halloween parties. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get that story. Let's go to the internet. The satellite is beaming a very special guest. He's been on the Monday Mass before, but never on film. So this is going to be great. This is Thomas Campbell, everybody.
Can you hear us, Thomas?
Oh, I see his name. I see his face.
Oh, there he is. Hi.
Thomas Campbell is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Where are
Thomas,
you?
Thomas, where are you at? Where are you coming from via satellite?
I'm at home in Bonnie Doon, California.
Okay. And Bonnie Doon,
North, north of Santa Cruz in the woods.
Sweet.
I like it. It sounds awesome. Thomas, a couple cool things happening with you right now. I just noticed today, the first website I went to was skateboarding.transworld.net, aka Transworld Skateboarding. Boom. Front page. Ye old destruction for the first time ever, free on the internet.
Correct.
That is awesome. So this film has been premiering around the world. You've been having live bands playing at these premieres. You've been premiering it on walls of skate shops all over the place. What brought you to the idea to say, you know what, it's time to unleash this thing onto the web, onto the internet?
I don't know. I think the cool thing about making this film is that it was never, the intention was really never, it wasn't like a money-making thing. It was more of like something that I wanted to do. Like, I really love where skateboarding is. At pretty much everything I do in my life comes from skateboarding, being a creative person. and I love kind of like in the 90s, skateboarding was kind of a little bit like segregated. There was like the tech dudes and the gnar dudes and the vert dudes. And I think a lot because of the tech dudes, they're people were kind of at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like it went to like a such a better place now with people just skating however the fuck they want, and I don't know, just awesome. And it inspired me to want to document skateboarding again and kind of get in touch with some old friends and get to work with some of the people that I love that are younger skaters. And yeah,
I love how you said that this is not a money making project, and I know in talking to you throughout this film, this was a money spending project, a self-funded skate film, the shot on film. And I know that the cool way that you raised money for this was to have some of your friends do art on uncut skateboards. You had some auctions. So for you, I know that this was so much more than even a labor of love. I mean, this was actually a labor because you had to do a lot of work to even get the film, to make the movie. So for you, like the journey to make this thing, it must have been pretty wild throughout the process.
You know, it was just fucking fun. You know, like
I like that.
I miss it. I miss it now. And like, I really enjoy that being, sorry, all the shit's going off.
No worries. Sweet. This is real. This is the new reality.
Live. You know, we are.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really enjoyed being, I don't know, out. A lot of where we filmed was out like in Bakersfield and kind of other areas, kind of like we filmed kind of down by the Mexican border in this reservoir. But I don't know. I just really enjoyed being with the dudes and building shit and I don't know. I'm from that. I'm from skateboard land, and like those people are my people. And you know, I think some people might think they might be like, oh, Thomas is like surf guy. It's like, dude, I just adapted what I learned in skateboarding into surfing.
Yeah. You know,
I love surfing. I want to go today. It's blown out. But anyway, yeah, it was just fun. And I think the way that the people got to come together was a group of people that normally don't come together, and they I think a lot of them really enjoyed that. They got to spend time with each other, and yeah, it was cool. It was cool, and I miss it. I wish I could start a new one tomorrow.
And there's not enough skating on cars anymore. I think that it's nice that you brought back car skating. Because, you know, after really the Powell video and Capitola, like there's no skating on cars anymore.
You were building and destroying all at the same time.
Well, that's a funny thing is like first the movie started out with one car, the black car. And then I had the Cadillac that I used for a different project. I had it at my house and I tried to sell it for 2 years. But no one wants like a low level shitty Cadillac. No one would buy it. And so it was there. And then I kept on thinking like, how am I going to like end the life of this one car? And then I was like, oh, I'll just use the other car. Since no one will buy it, I might as well destroy it. And then I used them both and it worked out.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's awesome.
The opening, from the opening scene all the way through, Thomas, I've told you this a couple times. This is truly one of my favorite skate videos ever made. When you see the faces of that crew in some of those opening shots, you know, after five faces pop up and you're going, okay, that's amazing. I can't believe all these people are there. And then you have 20 faces pop up and it's all your favorite skateboarders in one shot. So I can't say enough. If you haven't seen Ye Olde Destruction, it's on the Transworld site right now. Get into it. And lastly, Thomas, I know, this has been pretty cool. I am on your mailing list. And so I've been seeing these quick pop-up auctions and you're actually selling some of your work that, you know, as a compliment, as a testament to you as an artist. A lot of your work is very expensive. It's big and it's obviously very collectible. But I think it's pretty cool that you've been releasing and dropping these batches of affordable Thomas Campbell art. So how did that come about, and you know, what's the process there and kind of sorting out the things that you're going to put on that section of your website for really anyone who wants to invest in a Thomas Campbell piece?
I've been meaning to make a website like that for a while, and then I kind of saw this kind of coronavirus stuff coming, and I was like, oh, the normal revenue streams might be drying up because of this. And so I just started offering some things that are like a more lower price point, and people are really psyched, and I'm thankful. And actually it's been fun because I've been moving through making a lot of stuff and learning a lot, because a lot of times I'm working on bigger art, and then it takes a long time, and everything is kind of labored, all your thoughts and the way that you go about it. And then these things are small and kind of like free and fun. So anyway, yeah, I've been having fun, and people are responding good to it, and thankful.
Cool. Heck yeah. And give us the website for people to go check out.
I think it's thomascampbell-art.com. I mean, if you go to my Instagram, well, maybe it's not in my, anyway, that's it. Yeah.
It's out there.
You can find Thomas. Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Thomas Campbell. If you haven't seen Yield Destruct, I know you've seen it, Thomas. I'm sure Todd's seen it. If you guys haven't seen it, go to Transworld Skateboarding right now and watch it and get excited. Thank you, Thomas. You can go surfing. Just go windsurfing.
Cool. Wait.
What?
You tell him it's free. It's on the interweb forever for free. So it's out there. Just going to be up for a few days. It's take your time if you want to watch it in 3 weeks. Fine. Whatever. But it will be there. And it's just time to share. It's really about sharing anyway. So anyway, yeah. Thanks for you guys caring. Todd, good to see you. I get to see you a little bit more. I never get to see you.
I know.
And
have fun surfing,
you guys, and have another party so I can light myself on fire.
Oh yeah, I'm glad you remember that. See you later.
Thank you, Thomas Campbell. Please, I'm not begging you. I'm not telling you. I'm not asking you. I'm just saying, go to Transworld right now. Watch this movie. Get psyched. Go skateboarding. And that brings us to Snow News, that is brought to you by K2, and we do have a guest who was going to join
Nerd News.
Nerd News. So here's the quick snow news. Let's just do quick snow news.
Okay, here we go. Snow news. This is kind of a big one. Mount Hood in Oregon is mulling around the idea of opening. They want to open up this summer using the guidelines of what the statute is.
Social distancing. Yep.
I don't know. Mount Hood potentially could open. In snow news. The resorts are beginning to open up and come to life in New Zealand. Bad news is you can't go there unless you live in New Zealand. So there you go. And snow news.
Good news, bad news.
I don't know. There's whatever. Oh,
If you want to like spend an hour with snowboarding.
Oh yeah, you got to go watch
the Zach Hale on the bomb hole. And then on snowboarder.com, we got Chloe Kim, who took a break from snowboarding to go to Princeton. Mm-hmm. She took a quick break from Princeton to go to Transworld Snowboarder.
What?
Hold on. Let me start over.
Snowboarder Mag? Fresh and Tracked.
Yeah.
Fresh and Tracked.
You say it. Yeah.
And there's also Chloe Kim's Fresh and Tracked was up. You know, it's always cool to get a Fresh and Tracked with the Olympic gold medalist. And also,
you have
Haldor,
one.
Haldor. Yeah, I did. I didn't win a medal, though. And the Haldor Helgason is the new Fresh and Tracked. And his is, if you're going to watch one, watch Haldor's. So you can go check out the Standemic over there at Snowboarder Magazine.
Snowboarder.com.
Yeah. So let's get to nerd news so we can get to your friend. He's special.
Hey, this is very excited.
I am excited.
This is excite. Nerd news is brought to you by Panic and Coffee and Tea. And I'll tell you what, one of my favorite shows in the world. Animation.
Same.
Not anime. It doesn't matter. One of my favorite shows in the world is Rick and Morty. And how I met the next guest, his name is Chris Bolden. He's right there. I was commentating an event in Brazil, I believe. And I was talking about Rick and Morty, making a comparison to this wild finish of these heats. I was saying, this is like an episode of Rick and Morty. I got a message from my friend, Chris Bolden. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
Hi.
Good to be here.
Surf fan. And hey, Chris, this is Todd. Todd, Chris.
Hi, hi, nice to meet you. Big fan of your pen strokes. Yeah. Big time.
And so Chris Bolden messaged me and said, "That was awesome. There are surfers here at Rick and Morty, and we're stoked." And that got me very stoked. I kind of started fanning out on Chris. And then, we got a chance to meet. Chris gave me a tour of the Rick and Morty studio, and he showed me what he does, and what he does is awesome. So, Chris, why don't you tell us about your super rad job?
I will. This is super rad job day, I hope. I don't know if I'll be able to do this for my daughter when that day comes. My job is basically just drawing environments. A little background. I'm a background designer. So I started working on The Simpsons back in like 1997 and worked on the show for 12 years and moved on to different shows from there. But eventually landed on Rick and Morty. It was kind of out of the blue because I'd taken a break from animation in general. And then I decided I would like try getting back in, and I landed on this show that they said it's kind of a Back to the Future type show meets The Simpsons. And so I started actually on the pilot on Rick and Morty, and sat in a tiny office with Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon and like, who are these guys and what is this show all about? And it just took off from there. But the show is pretty, as you guys know, just nuts.
But super smart.
We have amazing writers, and comparatively to like The Simpsons, I remember when I was first looking for jobs post Simpsons, they were like, "Do you have anything else in your portfolio besides Simpsons stuff? Because it can all look the same." But being on Rick and Morty, I mean, it's just every episode, as you guys know, is just takes you. I mean, if you saw last night's episode, the Glorzo episode, just the city covered in slime, the opportunities that we get to design on that show has just been amazing. And it's definitely, it stretches everybody on the show. That's why it takes so long to produce a season.
Yeah, it's insane. You know?
So that's a long answer to your too short question. But yeah, I'm a background designer, and I love it. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing job.
No, I can imagine that, when we watch an episode, you have no idea what is going to happen next. And Rick and Morty fans in particular are hungry, and they're a rabid fan base, and they got to know. But you guys have done such an amazing job of keeping stuff secret until it comes out. You have no idea what's about to happen. So when you're presented with this idea, the writers send something and they say, "We need a background of a cave, but there has to be like hidden penises around, and there has to be lasers and satellites." What is the process for I guess a request for your services? How does it start?
Yeah, so it'll start with the script writers, and they will say, like, for example, like the first or second episode this season,
Mr. Meeseeks.
Oh, the heist of Tron.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Episode.
Yeah.
So, like, they'll give me a script and it'll say, like, we want an alien temple, sort of Raiders of the Lost Ark ish, but with a Mayan spin, and. So I'll get that, and then, of course, I'll consult the art director, because they're normally the ones that sit in on the writers' meetings to see what the directors want and what the writers want. And the writers will have already dug up, like, a ton of reference that they, like, so we're always referencing everything you can imagine, from anime to 1930s movies to current movies to TV shows, and they'll pile up a bunch of reference for me, and then it's up to me to start like doing a concept design, like this one right now that you have up. Mm-hmm. Like, they had to describe sort of like they wanted like this foo-foo fairyland meets Candyland meets Teletubbies. And so I just start going. I start with like these little thumbnail roughs, little rough drawings that are about yay big, and I'll start hammering them out. And from there, I will take those to the art director and say, like, how's this looking? So, like, with the Mayan temple, Mayan alien temple, I started off with about four or five different compositions. And you start narrowing it down before you start, like, adding, saying, okay, this is the one we're going with, so let's start detailing it out.
So and when you're sitting in these meetings and, like, say, just for instance, like, they throw this concept at you where, like, the Slut Dragon episode, like, and they're giving you the concept of this and they're trying to tell you, like, okay, well, look, it's like these super horny dragons, right? And they're all, yeah, like, and you've got to, like, create, like, how do you even hold it together, like, when you're trying to, like, wrap, like, take these guys seriously because this is your job, but at the same time they're like, well, there's these super horny dragons, right? And they're all like, it's, yeah, it's just nuts.
You know, it's serious business, you know. So I mean, the first season, Roiland was adamant, like, he, you know, throw penises everywhere. Like, I had to design those trees from, like, the first season that looked like, you know, penises and balls and stuff, right? You know, and but it's, you know, we always get a laugh from it, and, like, what are they going to come up with next? And, you know, everything is, there's no one's, like, guarding their mouth or worrying about being too PC or being too, like, cause that's what this show's all about, you know?
Obviously.
So everyone's always, like, waiting on, like, okay, what are the writers going to dish up this time? You know? And so beyond, like, the storylines, which are just absolutely hectic and crazy and nutty and brilliant, you know, they'll deliver what we have to design. And, you know, oftentimes it's just, you know, it's super funny, but then it's like, they're very serious about the funny that we've got to come up with, like the character design, for example, you know, got to come up with a lot of these crazy, super funny characters that you and I would be like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. But, like, how many passes the character artist had to do to get to finally, like, you know, get it to resonate with the writer, you know? It's a lot of work behind it, you know? And it stays fun, but I think, you know, like all jobs, what makes it most fun are, like, the people you work with and how much freedom you have to do that, Todd, you know what I mean? Like,
and now, the people you're working with are your children in your garage.
Well, it's actually, I'm actually in my parents' apartment. I call it, you know, like,
in your parents' basement.
Yeah. See, it's hilarious. I feel like
Rick and Morty should be made in somebody's, yeah, parents' basement.
For sure.
So why not?
Yeah. I sort of feel like my studio is in a retirement home right now. That's sort, awesome, of the vibe. And awesome. Until our, we're actually in the process of moving right now. And so going to have, like, a studio I can work remotely in, and it'll be all mine. You know,
awesome. Hey, and on that note, I found a house that you could have designed. You could have drawn this house as a kid, and now it's available. I don't know exactly where this place is. I think it's somewhere kind of north of Santa Cruz inland, but it just popped up on Zillow and it was for sale. This is a dream house by Nacimiento Lake. And I feel like, Chris Bolden, if you were an architect, this is the house you would design. It's got cement ramps everywhere. It's got its own skate park.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where this house was from, but then somebody sent me the YouTube of it. And this was actually, Todd, this was on Nitro Circus. And to me, this is the absolute dream house. But then when I saw it on Nitro Circus, I thought, I don't want these people in and around or near my house. And if you bought this house, that's exactly what would happen.
Well, it's actually my buddy's Trevor's house. And Trevor was on, Olympic, he's actually crazy. He's absolutely out of his gourd. He was part of the Nitro Circus guys for a long time. He went to the Olympics for snowboard cross, and he just decided that he was going to build the biggest, like, backyard fantasy away from everyone house so he could have ragers and jump out of helicopters, you know, into ramps at his house. And he's nuts.
All that could be yours for $539,000.
That is a damn, that's a bargain.
That's a really good deal. Are you serious?
That's a really good deal.
That is a good deal. My brother's a real estate agent. You can follow him at Justin Cote. And Chris, we're going to keep you on here. There's two more things. Lastly,
yes.
Westworld season finale. I don't know if you're a fan. I am. Todd is. Chris, you like Westworld?
I've never watched an episode.
Well, now you have something to do.
But if you recommend it, yes, I'm looking for you to go, for sure.
We can spoil the whole thing for you right now if you'd like.
Yeah, we ruin it for you. But at any rate,
it's... I'm watching Anne with an E with my wife right now. How's that? Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a party killer.
Well, we'll talk about Westworld next week. We don't want to spoil it for Chris. Lastly, we want to say rest in peace to Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
Jerry Stiller, you know, is Ben Stiller's dad, but he goes way back in comedy. And if you can today, to pay your respects to the one and only Jerry Stiller, watch yourself some Seinfeld. George's dad, Frank Costanza, best mm-hmm. ever. And we love you, Jerry Stiller. We love you, Chris Bolden. Thank you so
much. Go
Chris.
And watch Rick and Morty. It is watch the funniest freaking show on television.
It
as
is the
far
best
as I'm
ever.
It is really the best.
It's the best.
Thanks for coming on, for sure.
All right. If you want to see more of Chris's art, go to Chris Bolden or Bolden Arts. I have it written down. Yes, boldenarts.com.
Don't mess that one up.
Boldenarts.com. Yeah. We're going to blow you up on Instagram for sure. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, all of you, for watching. This has been The Monday Mass live on YouTube and now living forever on YouTube.
Seen it.
And
seen
in
it.
Your ears.
God bless.
Bye.
See you guys.
Hey there, this is me, Luke, from the Raglan Surf Report, and I'm just here to basically give you guys a little rundown on what's going on in New Zealand at the moment. And there's actually quite a lot going on here at the moment, because usually there's not much going on. But at the moment, we've got a pandemic, and it's a pandemic is basically just when everything turns to shit because of like people getting sick, and like you've probably wherever you are, you're probably suffering from the same kind of thing, or you might not suffering. You might just be sitting at home on the couch eating, you know, Doritos and watching movies and stuff, which is real harsh. But yeah, we're going through that at the moment, and it's been an up and down roller coaster of emotions for everyone, and mainly because we haven't been able to go surfing. It's very sad, dark times here, and you know, while there's people getting sick and losing their jobs and dying and all that sort of shit, the main thing is that we can't go surfing. And that has been detrimental to the physical well-being and the mental well-being of all of New Zealand's 72 surfers. So it's been extremely...